Remove your stroke from me. I'm spent by the hostility of your hand. When you discipline a man with rebukes for sin, you consume like a moth what is dear to him. Surely all mankind is a mere breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers. Look away from me that I may smile again. Behold, I depart, and I am no more. Psalm 66:10, for you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You have brought us into the net, another net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Folks, if we do not feel this weight, we should be concerned. Like Habakkuk and Jeremiah and David and Isaiah, even Jonah and others. The burden the last few months has not subsided. It continues to increase. God, you just fired the pro-life team. If God did this, then he is the one to cure us. If God did this, if he told his loved Christian people, you're fired, your 4 years are brilliant, and millions have prayed for you, but you are fired, then he is our help and our hope. Do you know that in the Old Testament, the word touch is 142 times? That the word is seldom used, very seldom used for God touching somebody. In the Old Testament, it is usually used as being pierced or struck or up to my throat or piled up or touching an unclean thing maybe. The Lord touches the earth and it dissolves. In Genesis 3, remember Eve said, we were told not to touch the tree. She first used it. She's misquoting God, by the way. She was never told that. Don't eat it. She first used it. The Lord touched Pharaoh's house in Genesis 17. It was bad. The Lord touched Jacob's hip. It was not good. Exodus 19, don't touch the mountain. Exodus 29, don't touch the altar. Don't let anything unholy touch the altar. Leviticus, don't touch any unclean thing. Psalm 104, he touches the mountains and it smokes. There's a couple good ones. Here's a couple near misses, okay? In 1 Kings, Elijah is hiding, you know, he's sleeping, and the Lord touches him and says, get up. Not the Lord, the Lord's angel. The angel touched him. Get up and eat. In Isaiah 6, the angel touched my lips with a coal. So that's pretty close, right? The only one I can find, and I didn't do an exhaustive search, but in Jeremiah 1, the Lord touched his lips, and he was made clean so that the word can come out of his mouth. But there's no, in general, it's not the Lord saying, I'm going to, you know, let me touch you, and come here, let me hug you, and let me comfort you with a touch. There really isn't any of that. Why? Because the earth has fallen, and there's nobody following after God, and God is angry. That's why people don't like to read the Old Testament. So God's always mad. Well, if he destroyed your world, or somebody destroyed your world and your family and everything, you'd be mad too. And God's mad. And he's on a redemptive plan, but he's going to get there. And he's going to let everybody know there's wrath coming, and here's a lot of pictures of it. So in the Old Testament, it's a little bit different, but wait a minute now. It's not until the New Testament that something happens. Something that was promised to happen. Because the Lord promised in Ezekiel 25, that the shepherd was going to come and he was going to care for his flock. So there's some promises. The touch changes by God in the New Testament. Matthew 8, he touches the leper. He says, and the man says, Lord, if you will. And Jesus said, I am willing. And he touched him. Oh, wait a minute. You know, see, right there, and I saw a really interesting article written by a so-called pastor Christian who said they can't be the same God because God did not do this in the Old Testament. And in fact, many people, some say, unhitch from the Old Testament because it's totally different. You don't need to hear that stuff. It's the anger of God and pictures of wrath, and we don't need that stuff. Some people say, well, see, that God changed. So it can't be the same God. Hooey. Matthew 8:14. Peter's mother-in-law was sick. And he touched her hand. And the fever left. In Matthew 9:19. The woman was bleeding. And she said, if I can just touch his garment. And he said, woman, take heart. In Matthew 9:28, Jesus is in a house. There's a blind man there. He says, have mercy on me, son of David. The Lord touched his eyes. You go around people touching people's eyes? Oh, it gets worse than this. In Matthew 14, in Gennesaret, they brought the sick and he touched them. In Matthew 20, two blind men. The people were rebuking them. And they said, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. What do you want me to do? They said to him, Lord, let our eyes be open. And Jesus had pity and touched their eyes. In Matthew 7, there was a deaf and dumb man. He put his finger in his ear. Ooh. He touched his tongue. Is that the same ear? Same finger? That is nucky. This is God of the Old Testament? This is Yahweh, the warrior God? Adonai? Is this him, the creator of all that is? Yeah, that's him. Seemingly different, comparing Yahweh to Yeshua, Jesus. But he was promised to overcome sin. He was promised to be your friend. He called Abraham friend. And he calls you friend. Did God change? No. He did not change. I will appoint over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he will feed them. And he will feed them and be their shepherd. Have you ever fed a baby lamb? I've seen it done. Have you fed a puppy? You pick them up. Fleas and all if you have to. And you feed them. Psalm 23, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. My beloved is mine and I am his. Song of Solomon 2. He pastures his flock among the lilies. That's the warrior God. I love that God. He's a very personal God. The promise to us is that he's going to touch us. And he touches us. How many songs does a person have to write before they break out as a songwriter? For Bill Gaither, it took 54. He writes, I started writing in 1960 and had written a few that were strong songs, but nothing had made an impact on the national level. That all changed with He Touched Me. The idea for the song came from an old preacher friend, of mine named Dr. David Oldman. One day he mentioned the word touch. It's a very powerful word. It comes up so often in the New Testament, stories about Jesus touching people's eyes and healing them or touching people's lives and changing them. It's a special word, and you ought to write a song that praises his touch. He did. It's one of my favorites. So Matthew 16, in Matthew 16, Jesus has distanced himself from Jerusalem. He's working in Galilee because they want to kill him in Jerusalem. So he's up in Galilee and he's working people, touching people, healing people. And then he turns to his disciples and he said, "Who do people say that I am?" And I won't name the candidate, but the candidate will say, "Well, I'm not sure, but I believe in God, I have faith." I heard one other say, "Jesus." I hope he believes it. It doesn't matter what other men say. What do you say? Who do you say that I am? And then right after that, Jesus says, "Okay, you now the disciples, you got this right. I'm the Messiah. Let's go to Jerusalem." Oh, wait a minute. By that time, they're going, "Wait a minute." Peter's going, "What? They tried to kill you there. You remember? That's why we're not going there." And that's when Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Okay? This is the turning point in this sermon. Have you taken up your cross? Have you said, "I'm going with Jesus no matter what? I'm going with the Lord." Okay. Now we can get to our text. So right after that, when all the disciples said, "You are the Son of the living God and we're going to follow you. We're going to Jerusalem." Remember, I think two of the boys said, "Let's go to die." Remember, I think John and Andrew, one of them said, "Let's go with him and die." But we're going with him. Listen, folks, that is so important. We are going with Jesus no matter what. We're turning to Jerusalem. Let's go and die. Because they don't know what's going to happen. And so after 6 days of that happening, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And they would not have seen that if they did not go with him. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with them. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we're here. If you wish, I will build 3 tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Shut up and listen to him." It's a command. Listen to him. At that point, your mind should go back to Sinai when the cloud was down and Moses came and the people were afraid. The people were standing at the mountain, they heard the thunders, and some said, "You know, it's this, and it's the voice of God," and everything, and they were just scared to death. And then Moses goes into the dark cloud with God, where it says, where God was. That way, Jesus is where God is. And the disciples were in the cloud. They were overshadowed by the cloud. So you're standing with Jesus, you're up on a big mountain, and it's bright, and it's wonderful, and all of a sudden, this big, heavy, bright fog lands right on you, and you can't see anything except you three and Jesus Christ and this booming, thunderous voice. "This is my Son. Listen to him." And what happened? When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. They were scared to death. And here's where we're at. They had a burden. They just got burdened by God. But what did Jesus do? But Jesus came and touched them. "Jesus, you're not here now. You can't touch me, can you? You don't care enough to be here now to help me and comfort me, comfort the sick and the ailing, comfort those who have been oppressed by demons and humans and sin. You don't care enough to help me." I say again, who? What does he do? He touches them and then he says, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. No one but Jesus only. How are we touched by Jesus now? He's not here. There's some very easy ways. The book of Habakkuk again. I cry out to the Lord. I don't get it. I don't understand it, Lord. I have a problem, and I have it with you. Lord, help me understand. We go to his word because Habakkuk was told, here's the word, make it plain and take it to others. So you pray, and as soon as you start praying, the Lord, here's the promise. You draw near to me, what? Finish it.
I'll draw near to you.
That's correct. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. You will ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. He will touch you. He touches you through prayer. He touches you through the word. And he touches you with praise and thanksgiving. He inhabits the praises of his people. If you raise your hands and your hearts and your voices, or if you're a little shy, go into your closet, just give him thanks and prayer, and he promises to be there. Because like Gary said this morning, what he wants is reliance. He wants us to rely on him. And so you and me have no earthly clue what's going to happen by the end of the day, let alone next week. We didn't know last week, and we don't know next week. That's as plain as a nose on my face, and it's a big nose. It's clear. We don't know. But there's some things we do know. More tonight. After 6 days, this is in the book, that's what it says. After 6 days, it's not happenstance that it's in the book. It was written there for a reason. After 6 days. I don't know if that's the 6 days of creation. The 6 days of 6,000 years. Or if that's just, this is what happened 6 days later. Because it took them 6 days to get to the mount. I think it's a little bit of all, maybe. We'll see. But 6 days later, they go to the mount, and then right after that, Jesus fires himself. He goes to the cross. He goes to the cross. Because the Father said, son, lots of people have prayed for you. You've prayed. But you said the right thing when you said, thy will be done. For you, O God, we're going to go back to Psalm 66. Watch the rest of this. This is what I read to you, but watch the however, okay? For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let them ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, and you have brought us out to a place of abundance. Folks, take the burden from God as it is from God, and then watch what it says in verse 1 of that same chapter 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. The earth sings praises to your name. Selah. Before he even talks about the net and all that God is doing to him, he's shouting praise. Because David's got to turn it around there. He's got it first, and then he shouts his complaint. So number one, God touches them. He's going to touch you through the word, through prayer, through praise. Okay? Through your faith. Number two, what was the second thing he did? He told him to get up. Get up. Arise. Why? Because Jesus' work was done, but theirs wasn't. They just started. When does the church need us? 10 years ago or 50? I think we were doing okay then. They need us now. Because he who restraineth is the Holy Spirit with the church is restraining evil. But I'm telling you folks, we are getting very close to the day when we are gone. Some people are going to wake up and some people are not going to be there. Most of the world is going to find out that there's a lot of Americans gone. And a few Iranians and a few Chinese and a few others, but a lot of Americans. I don't know how many, but it's going to be a complete disaster for them. And you can erase one of those disasters by pointing somebody to Jesus Christ. When he tells you to get up, he's just like Moses. Don't just stand there. He told Moses, don't you love that? The two angels, when the disciples are looking back up, and he says, why are you just standing there? He's coming back. Get to work. And the book of Acts is about getting to work. What is the book of Acts for you in the next coming years? I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit should be working on our hearts on just how close things are. Because with America out of the way, more tonight, with America out of the way, there's going to be a whole lot of things that change. Luke 7:14. Then he came up in Luke 7. Jesus comes up to a burial plank, it's called. And he touched the young man. And he said, arise. It's like these disciples are dead. They're on their face. And Jesus touches you. In your pain and in your tears and with your burden, he touches you and says, okay, grab your violin, grab your music, put on Maranatha, and sing. Pick up a guitar, and we're going to sing a few songs tonight. We're going to sing. We're going to do exactly what Habakkuk did. And we're going to try to understand that in our fear, God has an appointed time. And so we say like Habakkuk, Lord, we pray. I'm still praying for 4 more years of trial. I'm still praying for 4 more years of pro-life and good constitutions and good Supreme Courts and all this other stuff. However, in your wrath, have mercy, Lord. Finally, you know what the Lord backed all this up with? What's he backed your life up with? The word that says things and all those kind of things and, you know, promises and whatever and a life and you've got a good family, you've got a church, a great church, I think, and all those kind of things. But what's he backed it up with? What is behind all of this? The resurrection. Because the worms can eat my body. I know where I'm going to be. You know where you're going to be. And if you don't know that, right now is the time to get right. Because the Lord is making waves. It's nobody else. Give him responsibility for it, but let him cure you. Let him comfort you with his touch, his word, his spirit, and the church. And let him comfort you. Lord God, we turn to you. We praise you, and we honor you, and we love you. Thank you so much for your grace. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.